Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Planning a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Walls.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Whoopee-doo! Wow! Another week goes by. Scoop! There it goes. Don't blink. Don't blink. You'll never be able to catch it. And guess what, folks? That's right. This is the big weekend. The last weekend of summer. Wow. Where is this year going, folks? The summer went by. And you know what? I'm glad the summer's gone because the hell with that hate. That heat has caused so much trouble for so many people around this country. It's crazy. Not just here. In Europe, too. It's got everybody a little goofy. But you know what? It's going by, and we're starting to get a little bit cooler, and we're starting to feel a little bit better. Temperaments are coming down. Attitudes are getting better. But we're getting into a big problem. We're going to talk about that the first half hour this morning or this afternoon, this evening, wherever the hell you're at listening to us around the globe. I'm just devastated. Before I do any of that, I want to say hello to a newfound friend. His name is Hamdi, H-A-M-D-I. He's the big shot over there at 24-Hour Fitness. And, man, do they swimming pool, jacuzzi, sauna, sitz baths. They teach you how to dance. Every damn machine in the world that you can get physically fit with. And they teach you how to do everything. And well, anyhow, I'm starting it, okay? And those of you who've, during the last 3 years, got a little tire ring around the midriff and a little flappers underneath the arms and think that maybe we should do something, well, these I got a membership now, and it's good all around the country. Anywhere there's a 24-hour fitness, just put your phone down. They even did that for me underneath the goodie, and it goes beep, beep, and you're allowed in. So that's how quick that is. Hamdi, thank you so much for all your help today. And I'll be going there every day. I'm going to go in at 4 o'clock in the morning. They got an indoor pool there, so you don't have to worry about the damn weather and all the other crap that goes along with it. And I'm going to do my 25 laps each way. And I never told anybody, but I was on the swimming team when I was in high school, and I'll be a sumbitch, I was pretty good at it. I got broad shoulders from it because I used to do that, I don't even remember what the hell kind of stroke it was, but got me big shoulders, and it's too bad I didn't grow another 4 or 5 inches, but nevertheless, it is what it is, and I had to share it with everybody today because, wow, I didn't know that there was facilities out there for us people, young, old, and in between. Now, I promise you I'd tell you what's coming down the pike. And I'm going to tell you, there's a big alert. Tomorrow is the 1st of September. On the 21st or 22nd of September, you're going to hear from the big boys in this country. The interest points are going to go up a half a point. They're having a big meeting on this hike. Well, that'll happen in October. November, they're going to go up a half a point. December, they're going to go up another half a point. So that'll be a whole point by the end of this year. So what are we talking about? 6.5% to 8.5%. When before, you can get it for, you know, a buck and a quarter, buck and a half. Construction loans have slowed down. New sales of homes have slowed down. In my particular area, our homes have come down $500,000. Think about that. $500,000. That's huge. And then they're emphasizing about, oh, my God, in 2035, California is going to ban the sale of any gas-powered cars. And we got 13 years left. And then, oh, by the way, this is going to be really the Jetsons. Remember back in the 60s, you used to watch the cartoons, the Jetsons? Well, you're not going to be able to go to a car dealer, folks. You're going to go to a kiosk or on your computer and deal with the manufacturer themselves. I was reading up on this, and it just blew me away. I couldn't believe it. No more dealers, because there's been so many arguments about the dealers ripping people off, adding on new things, add-ons, and they're all bogus because when the manufacturers found out about it, they said, what are you people doing? You make enough damn money, now you're adding more money to them? So it goes to show you that everything is getting crazy. Now, let me tell you a little something about your FICO scores. You're going to blow your mind. And what does that mean, blow your mind? If you got a FICO score of 750 and higher, because 847 is the highest you can go, you'll get the best interest rate. On a new car, it's 7.8%. Used car, it's 8.1%. You got from 451 to 599, then they rip you off. That's 19.8% to 20.2%. Is anybody going to regulate this? Why are they socking it to us? I don't know. It's a deep, deep-rooted problem, folks. And somebody better step up and say, hey, I can't stand it, and I ain't going to take no more. But everybody's in the pecking order. They all peck down that road, heel and toe it, and follow the next guy. Oh, well, what can I do? Oh, well, what can I do? Well, if you open your mouth, maybe you can do something. There's the old adage, folks. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Beard of Knowledge, I want to call you in on this. What do you think about this info?
Am I unmuted, Tom?
Yep. Yes, you are.
I'm glad my cars are paid for.
Yeah, I hear it.
That's going to be really rough. Maybe Joe Biden can give us, forgiveness on our car loans, too, like he's doing on the student loans. Let the taxpayers pay for, the working man pay for our cars, I guess.
I don't know. That's pretty scary from that FICO score is going to dictate, your credit score. Going to put a lot of people don't have a very good credit score in there since the COVID. Some people have slipped into their credit card usage and lowered their credit scores. It's going to put a bind on everybody that's buying in the future. It's going to be hard to rebuild your credit score when you have such a tremendous interest rate. So, it sounds bad, Tom. Not to alarm anybody, but it's alarming, honestly.
Well, it is, Swede. And here's the big problem. People don't understand it, okay? The average Joe down the street just says, oh, well, what's the payment? Oh, it's just $500. Oh, I can make $500 a month, okay? But they don't figure out they're only clearing $2,000. That's one quarter of the damn wage that they're clearing, okay? And then they don't understand, well, who cares what the interest rate is? It's just costing me $500 a month. That's the problem of the youth of today. They don't investigate on what the full thing happens. Isn't it strange that you can have a credit card with a $2,000 limit and you bring your – they give you $2,000 on a credit card, right? We're all in on the same page. So you decide, okay, right. I'm going to go out and spend $1,500 of it and buy a necklace for my sweetie. Bill comes in 30 days. You got a choice of paying it off. That's no interest at all. Or you carry it for a few months. Carry it for 90 days and see what happens. Now they're saying, oh, well, you're getting close to your credit limit. You better be careful because we're going to tell you that you can't use it or we'll take it away from you. Well, why do they give you a credit card in the first place, Rocky?
I have no idea. I think what I'm going to do is get me a Sharpie and a piece of cardboard, and I'm going to write my "We'll work for food" sign and go stand in front of the mall. They're the ones that's making all the money.
They had a special here just the other day, and those people that you're talking about, okay, homeless, have a family, lost my job, and I'm a veteran. They were averaging out per day $365 cash, non-reportable to the IRS.
I'm starting tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. it's at the point where it's just stupid, okay? I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to say no more. I think Robert and I have talked just like you and I have talked, Rocky, and we get to the point after a while, give me mine to hell with you, just protect your family and heel and toe it down the road and hope for the best and expect the worst. I don't know what else to say.
There's not a whole lot left to say. I mean, not with our not with politics being what they are at this point in time. And I'm not saying that, you know, necessarily the, well, yeah, I am. I'm saying that one's better than the other, but they're not in power. And when they get in power, they're always afraid to do or say anything that's going to draw attention to them. And, well, all I can say is the quicker we get Sleepy Joe out, maybe we can kind of change the course a little bit.
Well, is that really the problem? Is it Sleepy Joe, or is it the people here that make up
this
government?
It's the people that's pulling the strings on Sleepy Joe.
What do you think, Weedy?
I'm beside myself over the student loan thing. We hadn't got to talk about this yet, Tom, but it's pissing me off.
Well, share it with our listeners around the globe. Tell us about it.
Well, it's just so wrong in so many ways. How can you take the taxpayers' money and make a political slush fund out of it to buy votes by paying off student debt? What about all the people that worked two or three jobs to put their children through college and paid those student loans? What about those kids that worked and worked and worked and got a job and held two or three different jobs and paid off their student loans? And then the Biden administration comes off and says, oh, well, we're going to take the tax money from the taxpayers and we're going to pay off all these student loans for people for $10,000 or $20,000 or even more if you have a Pell Grant. A government Pell Grant, you get more money to pay off your loans that you borrowed against, and you can make up to $125,000 to $220,000. Dude, that's a great wage. If in Arkansas, if you're making $125,000, you can pay your own damn student loans off.
You bet.
And you know what? I'm in agreement with you, not 100%, but 150%. But apparently, people who are smarter than we are saying that's not true.
It's a slush fund. It's a political ploy, buying votes, trying to pay off the little, these people. For one thing, if you can't take a loan, you jump onto the bandwagon and say, okay, man, I got to go to college because I want to go to college, okay, with no clue on what you're going to do. You don't have a major. You're going to major in some kind of art or something that's completely useless, and you think you're going to go get a job after you get out of school. And so then you go and you borrow money to go to an institution. For another thing, why don't they go after the institutions and say, why are you charging so damn much for these tuitions? Why don't they go after the state-run institutions instead of taking our tax money to pay off somebody else's loan? That's the part that's aggravating the crap out of me. But in the same manner, how can somebody that decides that they're going to get a grant, a Pell Grant from the government, a grant, not a loan, a grant. We're going to give you money to go to school. And then, well, it's not enough to cover all the tuition, so they take out a loan. Oh, yeah, I'll sign there. Here, sign here. So they sign. Well, instead of doing the work or going to class, they're sitting around smoking weed or doing whatever or drop completely out. Well, you still owe the money because it's a very large percentage. That's what happens. They don't finish school, or they don't do any. They just drop out. or go with such a low grade average point that they can't graduate. And so they can't do it again. They won't loan them the money again. I'm on the hook to pay for that. Right? You
yeah.
on the hook for that, Tom?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, now there's this new bill that was passed, and it's a debt forgiveness bill. Have you heard of that one?
I don't know what debt, what else, what other debt is, are they taxing us about? What now?
No, it's not what else is there about. It's a thing called debt forgiveness that Biden put out. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, debt forgiveness? I'm going to Google it right now and see what I come up with. They got it on the student loans, okay? There's student loans debt forgiveness, all right? And that's what you're talking about. But then there's
right.
debt forgiveness and hardship loans to reduce your debt. Did you know that? This is blowing my mind, man. You know, you can get 50 to 80% of your debt paid and not be going on defunct. When I think about it, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Because I'm of the same school you are, that here you bust your ass all your life to go out and work for what you have to make sure your kids can go to school, and they'll go out and get a job to help out also, and maybe two jobs, just like you with two jobs. Two jobs, the kids got two jobs, that's four jobs. And what are we doing here? What is it all about, okay? Is to get our kids educated so now they can go out, get better jobs, and then when we get older, hopefully they'll take care of us or say, hey, thanks, Dad. You did enough working. I'm making enough money for everybody. I want you to stay home and now relax and enjoy the rest of your life, your golden years. Okay? And
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking to myself, has that all gone? Well, here's what you want to get angered? Go out and pay your mortgages off. Okay? Pay your mortgages off. You work all your life to pay all your bills off and all your mortgages off. Now go to sell the damn house and see how much you got to pay the government.
Correct.
Right at about 42 to 44%. So that means every dollar you get for that house, well, here, out of $100,000, if you sell your house for $100,000, $42,000 to $44,000 of that goes to the government. Do you think that's fair?
No, it's not fair. Especially you paid all the upkeep. You've done all the improvements to build that equity, and then they just skim that right off the top of your sweat. Another thing too, Tom, that's just wearing me out is how come and I know what it is. It's because they want to try to squeeze the small businessmen because everybody that's working, they got to get more money out of the working man. How can they put on 87,000 more IRS agents? And guess what the first training is that they get them for? What their first training is audit. So that just tells me that they're just going to go out and go after all the small businesses and everybody and audit them over, you know, say and I know what it'll be. It'll be some nitpicking bullshit like, oh, well, you took a work clothes deduction, and you claimed $300, but you only bought, you know, $75 boots and $250 shirts. Where's the rest of that money? I mean, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be some trivial bullshit and tie people up where you have to pay an accountant a whole bunch of money to try to get you out of something over $50 with the IRS to put you in an audit. It's completely asinine. While everybody else is riding the wagon with on not doing anything on government assistance and are perfectly capable of working. Nothing wrong with them. They're not, you know, physically, I'm probably more physically disabled than 90% of the people that are drawn. So how does that work?
How dare you apply logic to an illogical situation? That's the problem, okay? It just gets to the point that it gets stupider and stupider, if there's such a word, okay? And I'm at the point, you know, I shake my head. And every day I wake up and God gives me the chance to wake up and say, hey, it's another day, and your number hasn't been picked. So you can go out there and do what you want to do, but just be a good boy and don't get in trouble. Well, okay, but how do we exist? I get a call today from somebody down in Las Vegas. Known him about 32 years. He says to me, Tom, he says, I've never asked you for anything. I says, okay. He says to me, my house has doubled in its price, but now it's come down some because the prices are coming down. I get my $8,200 retirement every month, and when it's all over and the smoke clears, I've got about $217 left to live on for the month, and that's what costs for gasoline. That's what costs for me for food. And he says, I'm barely making it. Is there a chance that you could lend me some money?
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Guy's 74 years old. So I said, look, I don't have money to lend, but going back for the years that we've known each other, I'll send you a check for $200, and you don't owe me nothing, which I've done that in the past to a lot of the people in the Bigfoot, you know, business. And just because, hey, it's not that I've got all this extra money. It's just that I don't want to hear people at the age of 74, you know, they're treading water right now because they don't have it. But it's scary as hell. What do you think, Rocky?
Well, you know, I've had people, a friend of mine, hit me up some time back. he needed $600 so he could buy a car. Well, I told him that I don't loan money to friends. I said, I'll give you some money, not $600, but I'll give you some money and just hope that, you know, you see it, you know, you see yourself free to return the favor. And, well, so he got busted just a few days before I was fixing to give him the money, because the money that he was trying to borrow from all of his friends, he was buying some stuff coming across from Mexico, some drugs. And so, you know, I'm kind of funny about loaning money. I have to really know somebody. Now, the Swede, you know, he knows he doesn't have to ask, you know, that, hell, I'll give him all my money, because, you know, I know that he's not going to do me wrong, but, you know, I can't do it anymore. I've just, you know, I've kind of been shit on by too many people, because they say, oh, he has a restaurant, he has his own business, that means he must have a lot of money. Well, I don't have a lot of money. I don't even have a big allowance. But anyhow, there's people out there. I hate to see them in bad situations, but, you know, if you know that they're the ones that got themselves
in that situation by being stupid or just, you know, that kind of stuff. I haven't got time for that. That old boy that wanted to borrow the $600 for a car, well, yeah, the car was full of dope. So, anyhow, it made me look at who it was that was asking for the money. I mean, there's still some out there that I'll, you know, I won't lend them money. I'll give them some and hope that they pay me back. And if they don't, you know, well, I'm pissed off. But, you know, if I'd have loaned them the money and they didn't pay it off, it would still be the same thing. So, I mean, I'm with you on the not wanting to see people suffer. But at the same time, there's too many people out there that that put themselves in a situation where they get shot in the leg by their wives with a 25 automatic just because they do stupid shit and expect everybody else to not just suffer along with him, but to do his suffering for him.
So, well, Tom, what was that we were just talking, Tom, about the dog eat dog?
Yep. You know, I got to give you a little bit adding to that, what you just said, Rocky. I learned a long, long time ago, because as you know, I'm the elder of this pack, that when people come to me for money, whether it's $20 or $200 or $2,000, and I don't get it back, if I lend it to you, it's one thing. If I give it to you, it's another thing, okay? And then if I don't get it back either way, I own your ass. Get it? So
yeah.
therefore, it was cheap at half the price that I got rid of you, okay? Because you're
a
phony, you're a liar, and you're full of shit. Who was it? Was that Doyle on the line there?
He's on the line, yeah.
Well, let's get him on here. We need two balls interjection on what's going on.
Let me tell you something,
Tom. We got him.
I promise you, everything I ever got in my life, I earned.
Which most
when
of us
I was
have.
18 years old, when I was 18 years old, I got my paramedic's license.
Wow. Well, it goes
and
to
I
show
worked
you.
My way through college as a bar bouncer and a paramedic.
Wow.
Back then, college tuition was $400 a semester. And I paid it in full up front every semester. My dad was a coal miner. He worked underground for 42 years, driving a shuttle car underground. He holds the Guinness Book of World Records for the most coal hauled out of a mine in a ship. He draws $700 a month. For 42 years.
Wow.
People don't understand that the work ethic in this country's gone to hell.
Yep. I agree with you right there. Real soon, I'll tell you. I'm just shocked. What do you think about this interest rate going up? What do you think about the FICO score situation? Whether you got a good FICO score, a bad score, your interest rate.
Stupid. I let a car go back because the dealership wouldn't sponsor the warranty on a bad transmission. And I just told them, so come get the damn thing. You know? Well, they dropped my credit score in half because I just told them, come get the car if you're not going to fix it.
How many other people in the world had the same situation going on?
I know. I mean, I'm telling you, it's not just me, it's everybody. And like I say, I own rental properties. And I try to be nice to people about the rental properties I own. Like I say, I rent properties to people that were, you would think was unspeakable out there where you're at in California. And, you know, I mean, when you rent somebody a 3-bedroom, 1.5 bath brick home with an acre of land and a swimming pool for $400 a month.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. And I also have another rental property. And it's a single-wide 16 by 80, the largest single-wide mobile home I guess you could get. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I rent that thing for $300 a month, and I supply all the utilities.
How much do utilities cost for that thing?
About $130 a month.
So you're making yourself money?
Garbage, water, everything.
Yeah. You must know the people then.
It's just, like I say, you know, I'm not out here to get rich. I'm not out here to get rich. I've never been one to try to get rich. Like you're saying, Tom, you're making more sense than anybody I've ever talked to. You're smarter than my brother-in-law, who's a CPA.
Well, here's the thing I don't understand, Doyle. Here's the thing I don't understand. So much of this is just logic. If people would just fucking get off their ass and think a little bit and say, wait a minute, 2 + 2 = 4, okay, I get it. But when they come up and they say 2 + 2 = 9, there's a problem.
There is.
Then the antennas blow up.
Here's the problem is that 30 years ago when I was going to college, tuition was $400 a semester. You know what I'm paying for my son to go to college now?
Oh, probably $6,000.
$14,000 a semester.
No shit.
Yep.
That must be a hell of a university. Where's he going, to Yale?
Harvard.
Harvard, there you go. God bless him. Well, here's a great situation. You're paying, I'm at 14, that's 28, that's $56,000 a year, correct?
Yep.
Okay. $56,000 a year, how many years, 4?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Actually 7, because he's going to go to law school.
Oh, my God. So, you know, you're talking about $390,000, dude, just to pay for him to go to school. And
well, here's what's sad.
What's the reasoning behind it?
Here's what's sad about all that is that if he comes out of law school and goes into the police academy in Kentucky, they pay his loans off.
Oh, they do?
Yep.
Well,
loan forgiveness, they call it.
Well, a lot of people are hearing about that loan forgiveness right now all over the country.
I did not have loan forgiveness when I was a kid.
Hey, I want to ask you something. Our real estate over here is going down. And how we found out, we go to that Zillow thing, you know?
Yep.
And we're finding out that my neighborhood, the average houses are coming down, including myself, $500,000. One big swoop in the last 2 weeks.
I can't imagine owning a $500,000 house. I own multiple homes down here, and they're beautiful, nice, big homes. And I can't imagine that. The most expensive home I live in right now is $176,000.
How big is it?
4 bedrooms, 2 baths. Game room, living room, kitchen, dining room, probably 1,800 square feet at least.
Is that all?
No, it's more than that. It's like 2,400 square feet.
Yeah. So is it on acreage?
Do what?
Is it on acreage?
4 acres.
No shit.
Yep.
No. So have they come down?
Actually, we've had people try to buy this house from us for like $200,000, but I'm not turning it loose after I got it for $176,000.
Yeah, it's only $24,000 profit.
Yeah, and I mean, like you say, when the government shaves all that off the top, you're gonna lose money.
Oh yeah, you're fucked, dude. It's goodbye, Charlie. You know, I didn't ask Rocky. Rocky, have they come down in your area?
I believe they have. I really, we're planted right now. We're not, you know, we don't, well, my wife might pay attention to it, but I've got a burial plot and I've got this place, and I'm going to stay in this place as long as I'm alive. And then I'll go to the burial plot. It's paid for. And
by the way, I'm glad you said that. How much did it cost for a burial plot by you?
I couldn't tell you that either. I let her handle the money, because if I handled the money, we'd have a lot more guns and be living in a trailer house. I'm not good.
Our burial plots here at the King Cemetery is $550 a piece.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said that, Robert, because I secured mine 4 years ago, I think it was, maybe five. And I put a down payment of $3,000 down. Okay.
Wow.
The interment and the opening and the headstone and the services came out to $19,000.
Oh, my God.
Well, listen, I just buried my sister in April, and that cost $17,600.
Oh, my gosh, Tom. No, it's $500.
My complete funeral is paid for $3,000, and I'm going to be entombed in one of the nicest places in the whole county.
Wow.
Well, when we bought the burial plot, we bought six of them. So, and now that you've mentioned it, they were about $600 a pot.
Right.
Okay. So my mother, it's my mother, my sister, my other sister, my brother-in-law, my nephew, they're all next to each other, okay? And, of course, I was the one that came later, and I got mine on the other side with my lovey. And but here's the thing. I could go back to New York and be buried by my dad, because he had the both of them. You know, one for his wife, but she didn't want to go back there. My mother didn't want to go back there. And we have 14 relatives here at this. As a matter of fact, Steve Jobs, the guy that died of Apple, he's buried in the same cemetery that my family is, and that nobody can go see his grave site, but they can come in and sign a book. You know, in the office. I thought that was kind of strange. I guess they're trying to protect, you know, I think he's in one of those mausoleums that, are you in the wall, Doyle?
Yeah, I'm in the mausoleum. That's where I'll be.
Yeah. Those are, after I looked at, because I'm so used to the ground fit bullshit, I think, you know, these mausoleums are pretty damn nice.
Oh,
you know, and then
wonderful.
You look up instead of down, and it's all marble and all that kind of crap.
And here's the cool thing about it, Tom, is that my casket has got a kick out with an oxygen tank. tough. If they bury me alive, I can kick it out and get out of there.
Well, the sleeve.
I know people think that's crazy, but that's just one of my wishes, you know.
Well, if they involve
the sleeve is
going to
take me. The sleeve is taking me to Dutton and stacking a bunch of big rocks on me. And
in the wall.
He's going to put me in the wall, and he's not going to tell anybody for a year.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing, Rocky. This is one promise I'll give you. If you pass before me, which you probably won't, because you're tougher than Tarzan's feet, but I promise you that I will come to Arkansas, and I'm going to shoot a .357 Magnum and a .44 Magnum by your head before we bury you.
Okay. Okay. Payback's a bitch.
Rocky, what was that handgun that you did over at Jim's house out under that tree that it spit fire?
That was the .44 Magnum. Oh,
that's what it was.
No, that was the 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum.
Oh, yes, 500.
I thought it was the .454 Casell.
No, that was the 500.
No, that was the one that Swede shot the Bigfoot with, or shot at the Bigfoot with.
Yeah, he torched off the .454. The 500 Smith & Wesson, well, that's a whole other animal.
That's a beast. That's a beast.
Yes, it is.
I'll tell you right now, guys, when I saw that plume of flames coming out of that sumbitch, I said, Rocky, what the hell you got there? And the hole it made, I couldn't believe it.
Old Chuck Creel backed off real quick when you whipped out the $100 saying that I could shoot that shoot the post on his barn into.
You remember that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Great story.
Well, listen, guys,
Tom, I'll never forget this, though. When I went on the expedition, and I think it was 2013 with Tommy and or TJ, you know, you got Big Tom, you got TJ, you got T3. But I was with TJ that time, and we went up there, and I'm a firearms guy. I love firearms. And we got into that trailer, and let me tell you something. Your firearms were in poor condition.
Yep.
I had to break every one of them down and scrub them down and clean them and every one. They were not functional. I don't know what y'all was doing with that.
Well, thank God we got friends like you that can break them down, clean them up, and put them back together.
Oh, yeah. I made every one of them functional. You had I think you've got a revolver. It's a, I can't remember. I think it's a .357 Magnum.
Yep.
And you keep it in that trailer.
Yeah, it's a Taurus.
I tried to cock the thing,
Taurus.
And the thing wouldn't even cock. It wouldn't even roll the cylinder because it was so gunked up. But I broke the thing down. I cleaned it. And you had a 30-30 lever-action rifle. And I broke that thing down because it was nasty. But I broke every one of those guns down. I mean, there were several guns.
By the way,
that
30-30 was Ivan Marks's rifle.
Well, that's awful, Tom.
Well, I never knew that. Boy, I'm privileged if I got to break that down and clean it then.
Yes, yeah.
That's incredible. Is that, Tom, is that rifle in the movie?
I think it's in one of them. I don't know what. It's the one when we were down there by Creel's house, because it was all cleaned and everything. It didn't get blued or anything, but it was oiled up and everything. And that thing shot. Oh, man, I'll tell you.
Is that the one you stopped Bigfoot with in Washington?
That's correct. Well, what a memory you
got.
Wow,
Tom, that's cool. That's cool. I didn't know you had that thing. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
I'm thinking that. Is that that 30-30 that Ivan's carrying in his movie?
That's right.
Wow, that's unreal. That's so cool.
That's the same
30-30. That was an awesome rifle. I tried to buy it from TJ, and he said, no way.
Yeah, no. There's a guy there in Arkansas that has his 30-06, and he's got that thing, you know, where you can scribe on it with that machine. It says Ivan Marks on it. And I met him in Texas. He came out to see us, and I said, look, dude, I says, gosh, Ivan only had two rifles. He had a 30-06, which you got there, and the 30-30 that I got that Peggy gave me. And I says, I'll give you $1,000 for that thing right now. And he says to me, no. He says, not enough. I said, well, what do you want for it? He says, it's not $1,000. Okay, because I was going to put it in the museum with the other one. And I got Peggy's six-shooter that she used to keep on her hip, and I'll never forget that one because we were in a cave.
I think that one's in the trailer too, Tom.
Yes, that six-shooter was on her hip, and we were in a cave up there in the Pacific Northwest. I'll never forget it. And she says to me, stay behind me. And all of a sudden, this bear comes around, gets up on two, and I says, what are you going to do? You got that little pea shooter. She says, shut up. I said, okay, you're the boy. You know, and she's pushing me back, and this woman knew right where to use that pea shooter, right between the eye and the brain. And all of a sudden, the only thing I can remember, when it got up on its hind, I could see the blubber just going down, hitting the ground. And I said, Peggy, you are incredible. She says, just run like hell. I don't know if he's going to just get down and get back up and chase our ass. She says,
wow.
I was just lucky, that's all. That woman, I'll tell you, God rest her soul. We were in Arizona, and when the dogs treed them damn cougars or javelinas, whatever the hell you called them back there, she went up with that long pole and that wire, put it around the neck of that damn lion, pulls it right down. I mean, she was fearless, man. And I said, Peggy, are you just plain stupid or crazy? She says, I'm a little bit of both. You want to do it? I said, no, you're doing a fine job. Don't leave me out of that.
Man, that's incredible story.
Well,
I can tell you this much right now.
I'm a firearms guy. I've got $250,000 worth of guns in different stashes all over different states. But you've got one hell of a nice collection of guns that's got history in that trailer.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Makes me feel like makes me feel good. Let me just put it to you that way. Okay, it's just like the knife collection that I've got. I have a stick of butter that Rocky gave me. And there ain't enough money in the world that anybody can buy that from me. You remember
that
Rocky?
Big Bowie? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
How about that big Bowie?
Oh, yeah. I got the Bowie knife where he had it engraved with my name on it. And, oh, my God, everybody. I have a case, okay, where I've got just the knives that mean something to me in. And that, of course, is the centerpiece. And everybody wants to handle it and touch it and all that thing. It's not that it costs a lot of money. You know, you could probably get one for $200, $250 or whatever. It's the meaning behind it, okay? And,
right.
And it means more to me than money. It's that simple, okay? I don't give a damn how much it is, and I don't care how much money you got, but it's not for sale, you know? It's just like that day when I gave him my stick of butter. You remember that day?
I remember that day. It's in myself.
That's right. It's in the gun safe.
Yeah, and that meant an awful lot to me, because that stick of butter, you know who gave that to me, right?
Yeah.
Who was it?
It was Ivan, wasn't it?
That's exactly right, my friend. You remembered, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'll never forget that day.
That's pretty cool.
All the memories, man. All the memories over the years. I just can't.
Yeah.
I mean, Rocky Slavin gave my son, he won the state award for, while we were on expedition, I couldn't be there. And he won the state award for why my grandpa was the greatest man
Rocky,
ever met.
I got to go. I got to go, Rocky.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
But Rocky.
Yeah.
You know, my baby boy still got that knife. He loves that thing, man.
Well, you still got the one that you cut your ass with, don't you?
I tell you what, buddy. That's my go-to knife. That's the sharpest damn knife of my life. How in the world did you get that knife that sharp?
Sharpened it.
Man. That old K-bar. Man.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. I mean, that's my go-to, boy. Speaking of knives. But anyways, boys, y'all have a good night. God bless y'all.
I want everybody to say a prayer for Dave Ortiz. He is, to say the least, he's down right now. That's why he didn't. He was supposed to come on tonight, but he wasn't able to make it again. We're trying to work it out to where he can maybe be on next week, but he's got an illness that was doing him some harm. And so if everybody out there, if you could say a little prayer for him.
All right, where's Father Ray at tonight?
He's got a little illness that he's having to deal with himself.
Boy, I hate to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly how bad it is at this point. I'll try and find out and give you some info on it if I can.
Well, yeah, call me. I'd like to be able to at least check on him. Like I said, good night, guys. God bless y'all. Swede, Rocky.
Night, Doyle.
Best guys night. In the world.
Swede, talk
yes.
to you tomorrow.
All right. Give me a holler.
Good.
Have a good evening.
Everybody
good
have
night.
A good evening. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.